Friday. Today is August the 30th, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take some time this Friday morning as we look out in the backyard and garden and talk about box tree moth, a pest that we had discussed in the past, but one that's starting to rear its head again in parts of the state. A good time to go out and inspect your landscape if you have box trees. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to start off this Friday morning talking about the box tree moth. This is something we talked about, not quite a year ago, as it's a pest that has really been having a lot of impact in our landscapes all around the state. Now, it's a non-native pest. The non-native box tree moth was confirmed in southwest Ohio last year, actually, and maps of the quarantine in Ohio as well as other areas in the U.S. are available online. It's important to periodically inspect your boxwoods, though, for box tree moth feeding damage, regardless whether you're in a quarantined area or not. That's to aid in detecting if it's possibly spreading, and then let Ohio State and the Department of Agriculture know as they're trying to track this. Now, last season, box tree moth male moth traps revealed there were two general hotspots, if you will. One was around Loveland, that's an eastern suburb of Cincinnati, and the other was around Kettering, and that's a southern suburb of Dayton. Now, subsequently, there have been heavy caterpillar infestations that have been discovered again, sort of near those areas of the hotspots, and this season they've observed some expansion, whether it's due either to the natural spread or maybe discovery of undetected infestations in the past that just came about this year. But owing to the box tree moth's multiple generations, damage is rapidly ramping up right now to produce some dramatic impacts and questions about how we manage this pest. Now, box tree moth caterpillars will feed exclusively on boxwoods. Box tree moth can produce rapid defoliation as these caterpillars feed on the bark, the twigs, the leaves, all the foliage is consumed, and so it obviously reduces the ability for that shrub to sprout new growth and leaves from bulbs. If the caterpillar exhausts the boxwood food supply in the landscape, they may actually be observed crawling or dangling from other plants. Now, host plant resistance provides the best long-term management option for any significant insect pest, and although it's anecdotal, evidence that all boxwoods are not equal in the compound eye of the box tree moth continues to be observed. They found some cases where there may be one boxwood that is being defoliated, and yet right beside it could be another one that is virtually untouched, and so that's got them obviously curious. Where boxwoods are under the threat for box tree moth, there is a wide range of insecticides that have proven effective against the caterpillars if you get them timed properly, and you can find those online as well, a list of those. But don't make insecticide applications unless the boxwoods are infested with those box tree moth caterpillar, or if they seem to present a risk, if you will. Preventative insecticide applications where box tree moth has not been found are not justified. They waste money, and there can be environmental problems actually killing beneficials that may help keep other pests in check. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions and talk about fruit production now. Whether you love apples or pears, grapes or peaches, the USDA actually has the latest numbers regarding fall time fruit production for the year. Rod Bain tells us more.
Late summer and fall time fruits are found at your local grocery store and retailers about now. And if not now, fairly soon. And depending on what your taste is, you should have no problems finding your favorite as you shop or perhaps pick your own. USDA's latest production forecast for fall time fruits breaks down specific products. Fleming Gibson of the National Agricultural Statistics Service starts with apples.
Our apple production this season is going to be down 2.2%, very similar to some of our prior years.
The nation's largest apple producing state, Washington, along with Michigan, each record year-over-year reductions of over 100 million pounds produced, offsetting an increase in New York State apple production. Turning to crabberries.
Production we're up 1.6%. Massachusetts, the second largest producing state, up 12% compared to the previous year.
The rise in Bay State cranberry production offset a slight decline in what the nation's largest cranberry growing state, Wisconsin, harvested this year. When it comes to U.S. grape production in 2024,
we are up 7.7% on production. We did add New York and Oregon back to the estimating program for grapes. That was one of our program changes to add them back in.
And the nation's largest grape growing state, California, reported more total grapes produced than the prior year, with year-over-year increased production noted for both Golden State raisin and table grapes. The latest look at domestic peach production by NAS was significant in that.
This is our first, like, all peach forecast of the year. In May, we forecast just California only, so this is our first full peach forecast of the year, up 22.2% this season. California, which is the largest producing state for peaches, is looking at the highest production since 2017. Pretty good year they're expecting out in California.
Also, Georgia and South Carolina peach crop production significantly rebounded this year, after freeze events in 2023 severely impacted the crops in those states. As for pear production,
predominantly in the West Coast region, Washington, Oregon, California, 520,000 tons this season. This will be the lowest U.S. production dating back to 2007.
Washington, the leading pear growing state, was significantly impacted by early winter cold weather, then a freeze during blooming season in the spring. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.